On my way this morning into church, Parker and I were driving together, and he heard this lady on the radio, and she said that you can't earn God's favor. You can't earn God's salvation. And it's a free gift given by God through his son, Jesus. And it's received through faith. Parker, sitting in the back seat, says to me, "Dad, is that true?" I said, "Yeah, bud." I said, "But what is what true?" He goes, "Is it true that it's free?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "We can go to heaven for free?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, but it's not about heaven. And the reality is we tend to think that salvation is about heaven and hell, and salvation is not about heaven and hell. It's about following God or not following God. It's about following after Christ and being a disciple of Jesus or not. When we look at yesterday, I was driving with my daughter, and we were having a conversation about heaven and hell, and we were talking about the fact that the word Christian is used twice in the entire Bible. The word Christian is used twice in the entire Bible. Now, I want you to hear me this morning when I say this to you, and I want you to hear it with a critical ear. I want you to really pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, because I think it's important. God has never and will ever call us to be Christians. The example in Scripture was that the disciples were called Christ's ones, little Christs, examples of Christ's. That's the only way that they could explain who they were. They said, "You were just like your rabbi." And they knew his name to be Christ, Jesus, so they called them Christians. It was an example. It wasn't a title. It was an attribute. God doesn't call us to be Christians. Instead, God calls us to be disciples. Because you know how many times the word disciple is used in the Scripture, in the Bible? Over 220 times. Now think about that, church. The word Christian is used twice. The word disciple is used over 220. What do you think that that means for us as we sit here and as we hear this and we hear the testimony of believers? What they experienced wasn't because they were Christians. It's because they were obedient disciples. In all the stories that we heard this morning from Tim and Amy, it was all about obedience. It was decision to say, "I'm going to follow no matter what." No matter if the transmission goes out of my truck, no matter if I lose my job, no matter the noise of people in my head or in my ears saying, "I should do this, I should do this, I should do this." And instead, what you heard was a determination to say that, "Lord, you are my God, and I want to follow after you." You see, salvation isn't about heaven and hell. When even we look at the way Jesus describes heaven in Scripture, remember his prayer? He says, "Thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven." And he says, "Thy kingdom come." For us, the most exciting thing that I can share you at the end of this series, when we look at these seven questions that we've wrestled with over the last 7 weeks, and we get to this one, can I know God personally? The greatest thing that I can share with you is, yes, you can know God personally, and yes, he wants you to follow him. And I want to introduce you to this person named Jesus through the next series, Red Letter Challenge. But most importantly, what I want you to hear this morning is that you can know God personally because he personally knows you. I love sharing this. I do it quite often because I think it's really that important. You can choose whether or not you love God. You have that choice. It's this beautiful gift called free will. You can choose whether or not you love God. You can choose whether or not you want to follow God or not. You have that choice. But you don't get to choose whether or not God loves you. You don't get to choose that because God loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to come, to die, to be the example of grace in your life, to be the example of grace for us to, listen to my word, follow. Salvation is about following after Jesus. That's the beautiful picture that we have. We just sang this song called Reckless Love, and I am so thankful for the reckless love of God. When we look at our relationships, we tend to see that there's things that we must do to earn people's favor, or, and each of us have probably been in this boat where we've done things for people, and the only reason we've done them is because we're trying to earn good standing with them. We're trying to earn their favor. And so we immediately think that if I have to do that in my personal relationships, then I must have to do that with God too. And church, I just want you to know, you can't be good enough to earn God's favor. You can't do enough for God to love you any more than he loves you right now. And it's a love that is unending. It's a love that is unceasing. It is a love that climbs the highest mountain, that tears down lies, that leaves the 99. Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells these incredible parables. Parables are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And in Luke chapter 15, Jesus specifically tells three important stories. He tells the parable of the lost sheep. And in that story, he is the good shepherd who is willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. In the parable of the lost coin, he is the woman who celebrates with everybody around when she finds this incredibly important lost coin. And in the final parable of Luke chapter 15, Jesus is the father who unashamedly runs towards his son who returns home. You see, the amazing thing is, even in those parables, and when you look at the interactions that Jesus had with people in his journey, and even after that, like you look at characters like Paul who hated the church. Paul didn't do anything to earn God's favor. God loved Paul and showed up in his life. Think about the Ethiopian eunuch in chapter 8 of Acts. Ethiopian eunuch who's reading Isaiah chapter 53, which is just amazing that he was reading the scripture. He was uneducated in the ways of the scripture. And here he is reading this scroll of Isaiah 53. And God speaks to a man named Philip, one of his disciples, and he says, Philip, or an apostle, and he says, I want you to go and I want you to meet this man. He said, I want you to just walk up to his chariot. So as Philip walks up to this chariot, this divine interaction, this divine appointment is about to happen. Philip says, what are you reading? So this Ethiopian eunuch starts to talk about what he's reading, and he realizes that he's reading about this Messiah, and he's maybe starting to put some of these pieces together. And Philip says, well, let me share with you the good news. And so this is what he shared with him. And I want to share with you this morning this simple gospel. The gospel just simply means good news. And the simple gospel is this. It starts with God's love. God loved us long before we even had the ability to love him back. God loved you before you were even a glimmer or a glint in your mother's eye. God knew you before you were ever born. So the story begins with God's love. If you go back to creation, you go back to Genesis, what you see is love beginning, love birthing, love creating. And why? Not for his benefit. He didn't need any of that. But he created out of love. You were created out of love because God loves. Tim, I'm going to ask you just to go to my message and just find the simple gospel slide. But there's a problem. And it's not God's problem, it's actually our problem. And our problem is sin. And because of sin, sin separated us from God. And it wasn't because God chose the sin for us, it's because we chose. Scripture tells us that for the wages of sin is death. Meaning that the only thing sin pays us is death. It doesn't give us life. It doesn't help us in any way. All it does is distract us, it pulls us away, and it creates separation between us and God. But aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that because of God's love, he offers a solution? Because no matter the chasm that sin has created, God is breaking down walls and breaking down the barriers that hold you back from relationship with him. And he meets us right where we are. Just like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The woman comes out from the well and she comes and she brings this water jug with her, and she comes at noon because of shame. She doesn't have 5 husbands. She has divorced 5 husbands, and the guy she's living with currently was not her husband. So she comes at noon to escape the ridicule of the women around him or around her. And who's sitting at the well at this time? Jesus. And why? Because it was a divine appointment. Because what you begin to realize is how often Jesus intersects with your story. How often he placed people in your life and he placed people in your story. And maybe you're not a believer right now. But I want you to even think back. Are there times where Jesus has been pursuing me? Can I look back and say, I can see the hand of Jesus trying to get my attention? Many times when we look back on our story, we begin to see how often Jesus was there. So the solution was for God to send his one and only son to die and to pay the death that we should have died. And so this shamed woman meets with Jesus, and I want you to pick up on this. Jesus met her in the middle of her sin and shame. He didn't wait for her to get all cleaned up and then show up in the story. He showed up at the very peak of her shame. He showed up at the very peak of her sin. Jesus was there, loving on her and showing her that there is another way. Because that's God's solution. So it started out with God's love, his love for us. And we recognize that there was a problem, and the problem was sin. And that God even restores through sin and sends his son. And then now, we have our response. Our response is, what are we going to do with this? How are we going to respond to this love that we didn't even realize was even an option? to be able to even accept his offer of grace and to simply follow him. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I'm at a point where I can give him my whole life. I don't know, Pastor, if I'm even at a point where I can give him my heart. But I want to give him my story. And I want to begin the journey of just simply following him. Just following him. We read in Scripture, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Church, I want you to hear, over these last 7 weeks, we have diligently tried to create an environment where you recognize that Trinity, I can't unfortunately speak for other churches, but I can speak for this church. We always want to create an environment where you can belong long before you believe. That this is a place that we want to create an atmosphere where you can belong and you are not going to be judged, you're not going to be ridiculed, you're not going to be told you're dumb and how do you not know the Bible, you're not going to be put off to the side. This is a place where we can all belong. And we believe through authentic faith and authentic community and belonging together that, guess what? Believing will happen. Because it's not up to us. See, because Jesus, like I said earlier, is constantly pursuing you. That's what this whole 7 weeks was about, creating a space where you can belong. And I want to encourage you to keep belonging. Now, I will confess to you that as we belong together, we aim and our goal and desire is that we will one day believe together. And so this morning, this is all I want to do. I'm going to invite you in just a few minutes to stand. And I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to invite you to do one thing today. Follow Jesus. Just simply begin your journey of following him. We'll figure this out as we go. We'll figure this out as we go. This is probably the most unique salvation message that I've ever given. Because typically you hear, pray this prayer, or do these things, or jump through this hoop. And church, I'm sorry, that's just not what this is about. It's about simply getting to a place where you say, I will follow you. And I have no idea what that means. Andrew and Philip, or James and John, sorry, had no idea when this rabbi came walking on the beach. He says, throw down your nets, come follow me. And they're like, okay. They had no idea what that meant. Matthew is sitting at a tax collector's booth. Jesus walks by him and he says, Matthew, he's like, I've got great things in store for you. Come follow me. And Matthew's like, okay. That's what it's about. Maybe you're here this morning and you lost that first love. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I gave my life and my heart to Christ a long time ago. But I've lost what it means to follow. This is for you too. So would you simply just stand with me now? Monty, I'll let you choose what we sing next as far as response. You know, there's a great song. I can hear Cindy playing it already. My heart is heavy. for those who would decide to follow him today and to take that first step and just follow. Rick and Patty Smith are here this morning, and it's 6 years ago today that they sat in the little love seat pew in the very back, and they kept staring at the door and staring at the door, and they were like, when can I get out of here? When can I leave? Why am I here? Why are we here? And Pastor Herb stood up and just simply said, follow. And before they knew it, never experiencing an altar in their life, they found themselves kneeling at a place of surrender and just taking the step, not knowing what else was going to happen after that, but they simply just said, we will follow. And now Patty stands up here 6 years later, and she's a Equip Hour facilitator, leading other people to what it looks like to climb those spiritual mountains and to climb the and to go through those spiritual valleys. If I can do anything this morning, it would just simply to ask you to step out in faith, to say, I have no idea what tomorrow holds. I have no idea what this means. I have no idea what to do next, but I know that Holy Spirit, you are calling into my heart, and you are just simply calling me to follow. And maybe for some of you this morning, you want to reclaim what that looks like. You're tired of being a Christian, and you don't want to be a Christian anymore. Instead, you want to be a disciple. You want to sit at the feet of the Master. You want to learn. You want to dig deeper into his book. You want to remember what it was like when Jesus looked at you and simply said, follow me. And to reclaim that fire and that passion. So as we begin to sing this song, I'm going to open it up for you to be able to respond. Now I'm going to ask you to do something a little different. I'm going to ask you to step out where you are and to take these bold steps of faith and to move to this place called the altar. Again, there's nothing magical about this experience, but there is something spiritual. It's not a place of condemnation, it's a place of conversation. It's not a place of disgrace, it's a place filled with God's grace that's free. That's free for us today. Would you just sing these words with me? And as we sing, I'm just going to encourage you to come and step out.